a bit blinding, isn't it? Kind of like Saul on the road to Damascus. I used to teach Greek at Hartford Seminary. I remember one year, it was the end of the term, it was right around Christmas. It was the last class before the end of the term at Christmas. And my students gave me a gift. Very nice. I suppose they were all looking for good grades or something. I opened the gift. It was a coffee cup filled with chocolates. Very nice. And on the coffee cup was a Far Side cartoon. You remember the Far Side, Gary Larson? The cartoon depicted the figure that I later read stood in for him when he was a boy. Kind of an overweight guy with a striped t-shirt on and a buzz cut, you know the look. And he's standing up in class saying, "Teacher, may I be excused? My brain is full." As the farewell banquet he shared with his disciples drew to a close, Jesus said to them, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." What a tease, huh? What a teasing remark. There's so much more I could say, because we haven't even come close to exhausting the subject. So many questions, so many mysteries. Ever thought about this? Why didn't Jesus just lay it all out for them, for us? So many questions, so many mysteries. Wouldn't it be easier for us to trust God if Jesus had just taken care of that, just addressed our hunger to know everything? It's a mistake to read this as if Jesus were saying, "I still have more to teach you, but there just isn't time." That's not the motive Jesus offers for being such a tease. Now, I read him as saying something like this: "There is so much more I would say, but because I love you, because I love you, I hold back for now. If I told you everything that I know, you wouldn't be able to take it." What burden is Jesus carrying that would be so unbearable for his disciples if they knew? The rest of John's gospel makes this clear. The cross. Unlike the three synoptic gospels, Jesus never says in plain language, "Look, I'm about to be handed over to the authorities to suffer a brutal death." No, although John's Jesus gives his disciples plenty of hints, those hints remain just that. Teases. Jesus prepares them for the experience of his agony, but the full extent of that agony is not disclosed to them until Jesus finally hangs dead upon the cross. And according to John, none of the disciples are present at this fulfillment. None except two: the beloved disciple and Jesus' mother. You remember that moment in the story, huh? When Jesus had received the wine, he said, "It is finished." Then he bowed his head and handed over the spirit. And handed over the spirit, not and gave up the spirit, and handed over the spirit. That's what Jesus said. To whom? To whom does Jesus hand over the spirit? Presumably to the two who stood with him to the end, the beloved disciple, and Jesus' mother. In John's Gospel, these two experience the gift of Pentecost as Jesus' agony is completed in death. Jesus hands over the Spirit, and the church is born at the place of God's execution. When the Spirit of truth comes, you will be guided into all the truth. All what truth? Friends, in the fourth gospel, truth is not a what. Truth is another name, perhaps the sweetest name for Jesus. The Word of God dwelling among us. Jesus, our way, our truth, our life. Jesus is truth for us because it is in Jesus that the truth about God and the truth about us are brought together so completely that God's destiny and ours are now forever inextricably linked. Undoubtedly, God could have been God altogether without us. But through Christ crucified and the Spirit of truth, we encounter a God who could not be the kind of God God is without us. God suffers. God suffers because of us, for us, and with us. This, my friends, is at the heart of the good news we celebrate today. The God who created all things, who still breathes life into all the universe, this God had both a mother and an executioner. Womb and tomb, the marks of mortality, are as much a part of God's story as they are of ours. Paul gives us a hint at what this means for us. Through Christ's trusting faithfulness to God's way, Paul says, we have been brought into a right relationship with God. And as God suffers in Christ, so we can boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces a kind of trinity in us, a triad of patient endurance, of proven character, and of hope, living hope, poured out by the Spirit who suffers with us. These three, suggests Paul, will be produced in us whenever and wherever we trust God's way with Christ's own brand of faithfulness. And that means shaking off the dull stupor that constantly threatens to anesthetize us by blinding us to the vast suffering all around us. And if we look deeply, constantly nibbling at our lives. Christ's own brand of faithfulness invites us, summons us into the work of justice, knowing full well that as far as our eye can see, that work will never end. Munib Younan is the bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Jordan and the Holy Land. Our local bishop, Margaret Payne, just finished her sabbatical, and she spent a good part of it with Bishop Younan. On a day-to-day basis, she walked with him, prayed with him in his day-to-day rounds of work. She's back now, and she reports that she's never seen Munib as discouraged as discouraged as he is right now. He is vastly discouraged about the prospects for justice. Like so many Palestinians, Munib has come close these days to giving up hope for a better life in the land of his birth. Bishop Payne has invited us to take a moment after worship today to write cards and notes of encouragement to Bishop Yunnan. We'll provide that. And those of us who go to the Synod Assembly this coming week, June 3rd through 5th, we will bring those cards with us. They will be gathered up, and Bishop Payne will forward them to Bishop Yunnan to be shared both with him and with other people in the church over there. Letter writing, the kind of expression of encouragement that we find in a note, can be a pretty surface activity. But Bishop Payne invites us to recognize that by writing letters of encouragement to people enduring the kind of oppression that our sisters and brothers in the church over there are now experiencing, we share a part of that burden with them. And what is more, in the act of writing, we remind ourselves of our constant call to stay alert to the suffering caused by injustice all around us as well. Bishop Payne's invitation to write these letters today can be heard by us also as an invitation to come and join the dance of Trinity, this God, this passionate God, who spends life by sharing it with us. I encourage you, in the name of the one who is patient endurance, proven character, living hope, to live and breathe the right relationship we have been given. In Christ's name, Amen.